WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number three of the program here on Thursday morning. The rain is coming down. It's coming down hard. I got to go over to Stop and Shop when the show's over and get some supplies. And I'm thinking, you know what? I just might not. Might just wait till this afternoon when it's going to clear up. But this hour is going to be a big one here on the program. Later on, we're going to be joined by Tom from Heavenly Spirits to talk about some of the great things you can taste at Stevie's Fall Favorites Tasting tomorrow from 4 to 6 at Stevie's Wine and Spirits. 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. So we're going to be hanging out there. I'll be there. And we're going to be trying a whole bunch of different stuff, including my favorite, the Dark Arts line that Tom will be pouring, as well as some other things. Then also this hour, we will have your first Money Talks cash code of the day. So you're going to have 10 codes for the course of the day, every hour between now and through the 5 p.m. hour. And you hear those codes. You enter them at WBSM.com or on the WBSM app, and each code you enter is an entry to try to win $1,000. We give away $1,000 every day, and then coming up later on, the next couple of Thursdays, we're going to have your $10,000 Thursdays. So, but just keep playing. Just keep playing. Keep entering, and you could be $1,000 richer. So I was mentioning earlier a couple of stories regarding the New Bedford Police Department. Of course, we have the story at WBSM.com and on the app about the police union seeking to have the division commander position filled in the North End Station, and Mayor Mitchell saying, yeah, we're not doing that. And so now a majority of the city councilors have come out in favor of supporting the idea of having a division commander. You can read their comments at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. And in just a moment, we're going to get into another story regarding the police department. They posted a list of frequently asked questions regarding what their role is in ICE enforcement in the city. So I'm going to give you some of the answers to some of those questions coming up. But let's take a quick phone call here before we do that. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hi. I should have waited and let you go through that list. I'm sorry.
That's all right. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just wondering, what have you heard? Have you heard anything more about that young woman that was found dead in Wareham behind that CVS?
No, we haven't heard anything else on that. I know that, you know, there was a lot of amateur kind of detective people kind of saying, well, look at her boyfriend, look at these people, look at that. There was the woman that was using her debit card, I guess. So a lot of this has created some questions. But the only thing I can say, and, you know, I can just say this from my own knowledge and not anything that's been released officially, that area that is behind the CVS where her body was found, there is a homeless encampment back there. So I don't know if that's related to this at all. I don't know if she had left home and was staying there or something. I'm not sure, but that's the only, and I know that it's not the first time they found a body in that area. They found someone on the tracks. Yeah, a couple of years ago, they found someone on the tracks there that they think had been an overdose.
Wow. All right. The last sighting was at the Narrows, the restaurant, though?
Yes, according to Wareham Week, they reported that she was last seen at Narrows Crossing.
Wow, this is quite the mystery. Well, maybe the chief will reach out to you. He seems like a nice person.
At this point, it would all be coming from the DA's office.
Oh, right, true. And then again, they probably can't really say too much. This is murder, after all.
Yeah, and they're probably still investigating. When they have more information, I know they'll provide it. They just probably haven't made any advancements yet on the investigation.
Right. Well, thanks. I had no idea about the homeless encampment back there.
I don't know that they're related, but that's what's back there.
Yeah. And my guess would have been the song. I don't even know the artist that sang it, but it seems to me like that was his one hit only, so I was way off.
Oh, Cisco, the thong song?
Yeah. He went nowhere after that.
Still a good guess. Well, he'd been part of a group before that. He was part of, Drew Hill? So they'd had some hits before that, and then he went solo, and, yeah, he had that hit, and then we didn't really hear much from him.
Yeah, nothing at all. All right, Tim, that's about it. I'll let you get back to business.
All right, have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
And let's take another call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm a little bit wet. Other than that, I'm okay. And I was catching a little bit of the news there that on BSM just a few minutes ago. That Stewart case where the guy that killed his pregnant wife and blamed the two black men.
Mm-hmm.
And now Mayor Wu was given one $100,000 and the other one $50,000. So do you know, because I don't remember, but how long were they in jail?
I don't remember how long. I just watched a documentary about it, I think, last year. I don't remember how long they were in jail for.
What? I mean, was it years? Did it come to years?
I don't think it was that long, no. They found out pretty quickly.
I was going to say, how did they even go to jail if there was no evidence to connect them at all? How did they manage to put them in jail?
I don't remember all the details of it. I remember the documentary that I watched did get into all of that. And basically, you know, just said it was a frame job to have an answer. The Boston Police Department at that time was under a lot of scrutiny for its investigative techniques.
And his brother was the one that like kind of went to the cops too, right?
That's yes. Something? Yeah.
He was protecting his brother in the beginning. What was I going to say? How come Mayor Wu was given one $100,000 and one only $50,000?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to look that up. I can't believe that despicable man in Fairhaven with his wife, how is it that they only got 26 years for that? And do we even know if they impregnated any of those girls? Are they even going to put that out there? Because how would he get away with it all that time and none of them ever getting pregnant?
I don't know. That was not mentioned from the DA's office, which... You know, they might have mentioned it if that was the case, you know, because that might have been a different charge.
I know. Well, I got one last question now, because I kind of missed it here and there. I was in and out. But I heard something. I think it was you, and can't say the name now, but mentioned something about Brandon Woods. Were you talking about nursing homes or anything? What was that about?
Yes. So New Bedford Light has a report today about some violations that have been happening at Brandon Woods and a fine that they got for some issues that were going on, including the physical and sexual abuse of some of the residents.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to get into the story of my mother, but they should all be closed up. That's my opinion. Nowadays, they're telling people you can be taken care of in your own place where you live or where you rent. They'll come in and take care of you. And I think the seniors would live a lot longer and a little easier if they could stay in their own places. Because what my sister and I witnessed during the time my mother was there, not in Brandon Woods, I have no qualms about saying what nursing home it was. And it was a Hathaway Manor. That's the one. My mother was very abused. And when she died from there, we didn't even... They blocked me and my sister from coming in because we were bringing her food and we were cleaning her because they weren't cleaning her at all. My mother, when she passed away, they brought her to the nursing home, to the hospital from the nursing home, and the doctor said my mother had sepsis, and we got it on the death certificate. And we were so, my sister and I, we couldn't handle all that we heard from the doctor. I wanted to go to a warrior. My sister said, if you do that, I'm not going to help you. Because at the time, her sister, her husband, was very, very bad sick. She couldn't jump around. She's sick herself. So we didn't do anything. My mother's been gone a little over 3 years now. So I think time has passed. But that place, I almost went to jail many times, and that's for another day. But thank you for taking my call. When I heard that, I knew I had to call you to see what was going on.
Yeah, you can read the whole thing at newbedfordlight.org. It's a very lengthy piece that really gets in. And they have the entire report linked up, too.
Well, I don't know what that report was, and I'm going to see it. And if they were to get a report from my sister and I, they would never believe that. They would never. We still have photographs. All right, you have a good day, and thank you for my call.
You as well. Take care.
Yeah, you too.
And let's jump into, I mean, we can certainly talk about those things too, but let's jump into some of these frequently asked questions that the police department posted regarding the work that they can do in relation to immigration enforcement operations. So the question, can the MBPD be required to enforce federal immigration laws? Under the 10th Amendment and the U.S. Supreme Court's anti-commandeering doctrine, and I'm not going to give you all the legal parts of it, but it says the federal government cannot force state or local police to carry out federal regulatory programs, including immigration enforcement. While the MBPD may cooperate with federal authorities in certain criminal cases, we cannot be required to dedicate local resources to enforce federal immigration laws. And that's what it comes down to. Resources. They don't have the manpower or the person power to say, we're going to give you, you know, we're going to put our police officers on this to help you with your job. It's not that they are, it's not a political stance. It's just a, we don't have anybody that we can spare. What if ICE presents a federal arrest warrant? If ICE presents a judicially issued warrant signed by a judge, the NBPD would treat it the same way we would treat a warrant presented by the FBI, DEA, or U.S. Marshals, which is still, we'll help you where we can, but it's your job. What is the NBPD's role during federal immigration operations? It may be appropriate for the NBPD to be present at the location of federal immigration enforcement operations. When present, officers ensure safety, de-escalate conflicts, manage traffic, and enforce Massachusetts state law when needed. Immigration enforcement itself is the responsibility of federal agencies, not local police. So what can NBPD officers not do during ICE operations? They cannot arrest or hold someone solely on an ICE civil immigration detainer. They cannot perform immigration arrests unless explicitly authorized by law. They cannot interfere with protesters' rights to record or peacefully assemble. They cannot ignore threats to safety. Officers may enforce state laws when there are crimes or hazards. How do you know if ICE agents are legitimate? Supervisors on scene are expected to confirm that individuals are bona fide federal agents by reviewing credentials. Officers do not need to collect personal information, but must verify that the operation is legitimate to avoid confusion or impersonation concerns. Can NBPD officers interfere with ICE operations? Federal law prohibits local officers from actively interfering with or obstructing federal agents in the performance of their lawful duties. The MBPD's responsibility is to maintain public order and safety while allowing ICE to conduct its federal responsibilities. Can the MBPD share information with ICE? Yes, but only in the same way they would share information with any other federal agency and consistent with Massachusetts public records laws. We are not required to proactively collect or report immigration information, but we also cannot obstruct lawful information sharing if requested. Why does the NBPD have these rules? These rules ensure that officers follow state law, federal law, and constitutional protections while preserving community trust. Our duty is public safety, ensuring order and lawful enforcement, the same priorities we hold to in all of our work. How does the NBPD ensure that officers enforce this neutrally, regardless of political views? NBPD officers are trained and instructed that political and personal opinions must never influence law enforcement decisions. All actions are guided by law, department policy, and constitutional protections. Supervisors are required to respond to these incidents and oversee decision-making to ensure consistency, legality, and impartiality. What happens if community members protest during ICE operations? Peaceful protest and lawful recording are protected rights. If protests create hazards, block vehicles, or become violent, NBPD officers may step in to restore order and enforce state laws. The focus remains on safety for everyone present. Does the NBPD notify ICE when prisoners are released? Or can the NBPD hold someone for ICE if asked? The NBPD does not release people from custody. In Massachusetts, the courts and the state hold prisoners, not the city. Under the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court's Lund versus Commonwealth decision, local law enforcement has no authority to hold an individual solely on the basis of a federal immigration detainer or a civil document such as a Form 102 for the warrant for removal or deportation. Holding someone past their lawful release time would constitute an unlawful arrest. Only a judicially issued arrest warrant allows local officers to detain someone. What are these steps for a typical NBPD response during an ICE operation? This is the part that I think a lot of you will feel is the most important part. When ICE operations occur in New Bedford and the NBPD is asked to respond, officers follow these steps. A supervisor and at least two officers are dispatched as a priority call. The supervisor also notifies the chief of police through the chain of command. Officers and supervisors shall activate their body-worn cameras consistent with NBPD policy and keep them activated throughout the response. They will assess the scene and determine whether there are protests, safety hazards, or other conflicts requiring attention. Officers must do this neutrally and without political bias. They then confirm that the individuals are official ICE agents with proper credentials. They provide space and opportunity for the public to protest and film, provided actions are lawful and do not interfere with ICE operations. If individuals block vehicles, create hazards, or engage in violence, NBPD officers may act to restore order and enforce state law. They maintain safety and focus on protecting everyone present, including community members, ICE agents, and bystanders. And officers must fully document the response, including whether the NBPD was notified beforehand, who requested the assistance, observations of the scene, actions taken, and the time the scene was cleared. And again, if you want to see all of this, you can see it yourself at NBPDNewBedfordPD.com under their frequently asked questions. Let's take a call here before we got to take a break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi, Jim. So, why should we believe any of that they say when the last frequently asked questions, which was you must be a U.S. citizen to be a police officer, wasn't right, and they changed it?
Well, I'm going to assume that this got approved by somebody before it got posted up after what happened.
Why would you assume that? It doesn't have anybody's name attached to it, right?
Yeah, no, but I'm going to take them at face value on this.
Said this. Well, I don't know. I think their face value is a little at odds here because...
I mean, that was also under different leadership. You know, that was under a different chief. So, and I'm sure that they put the mayor has said that they put safeguards in place now to make sure that somebody doesn't just post whatever they want without checking with somebody first. So,
well, I just think that they have, you know, obviously, I don't think just somebody changed their mind about the police officer when it was up there. I think that was a planned thing. So let's say they do something and then they say, oh, well, in the frequently asked questions, it says you couldn't do that or you weren't supposed to do that. And then poof, it's gone overnight. Just like last time.
Yeah, but I don't see where anything here could be changed. I mean, this is pretty straightforward.
No, we'll see.
Okay. You have a good day. I mean, I get it. I understand, you know, why should you trust them when you couldn't trust them before? But I also don't think that there was some sort of game being played with the frequently asked questions before. You know, I do believe that somebody put that answer up there thinking that that was the right answer. And then we're told later that that's not the right answer. I do believe that. I think it was the same way that you probably thought it was common sense that you had to be a U.S. citizen to be a police officer. Someone who posted that up in the first place thought that it was common sense that you had to be a police officer. Or maybe they worked in a different municipality where that was the rule. So they just assumed that that was the rule everywhere. Or what if, you know, the person who was writing that didn't realize that they had hired officers that weren't already U.S. citizens. So it's entirely possible that was a mistake. I don't think that it was. I think that that's the word I'm looking for. You know, the game that was played was when they went and changed it after Barry Richard inquired about it. That was the part that I thought was a little fishy, to just go and change it without acknowledging that there was a change made, you know, without saying first, like, oh, that is incorrect, we're going to go there and change it. They just changed it and then said, oh, yeah, there was a mistake. So I thought that was the part that was a little bit fishy. But I honestly think that, yeah, somebody put that up there not knowing, like, no, that's not the case. 508-996-0500. I've got to take a break here. When we come back, we will have the news. After the news, we will talk with Tom from Heavenly Spirits about what you can expect at the big tasting at Stevie's Wine and Spirits tomorrow from 4 to 6. And then we'll talk more with you. We'll be back in just a few moments. Oh, right. You might be waiting for a couple of numbers, right?
Every day, you can make the money talk. This is your chance to win $1,000.
282-282. Enter the code right now on WBSM.com or on the WBSM app.
Money Talks on WBSM.
Broadcasting live from the Carefree Homes studios, this is WBSM. Carefree Homes, your local family-owned home improvement experts. Roofing, siding, windows, and more. Get a free quote at carefreehomescompany.com to make your house a carefree home. Two dead, one injured in a shooting at an ICE facility in Texas. Exercise may reduce the risk of Alzheimer's, and coffee prices are on the rise.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
At least two detainees are dead and one in critical condition after a shooter opened fire on a Dallas ICE facility. ICE Deputy Director Madison Sheehan said the shooter targeted the entire building.
What we do know so far is that this shooter was firing indiscriminately throughout the whole building. And so this shooter was at a building nearby and shooting directly into the building, going across the entire length of the building.
The shooter has reportedly been identified as 29-year-old Joshua Jean. He was found dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound at a nearby apartment building. The FBI is investigating the shooting as a part of a targeted violence. FBI Director Kash Patel posted a picture on X of shell casings engraved with the phrase anti-ICE that were found at the scene. No ICE agents were injured in part of that shooting. There's been a huge rise in dangerous types of antibiotic-resistant bacteria. The CDC says between 2019 and 2023, certain infections rose by more than 460% in the United States. That includes pneumonia, bloodstream infections, urinary tract infections, and wound infections. The CDC says they are hard to treat and can be deadly. Officials say that certain bacteria is resistant to some of the strongest antibiotics available. And the CDC says that they're studying the reason for the surge. Coffee prices up on the rise, up 20% this time from last year. Rob Pearson is a director of coffee at Windmill Coffee Roasters, and he spoke about the increase.
The tricky part with coffee prices right now is that the tariffs are increasing an already unstable pricing market. Last year, Brazil, who produces over 60% of the coffee worldwide, had a bad year. And so because of a small harvest, the price went up last year.
There's currently a 50% tariff on the U.S. largest supplier, Brazil. Pearson says several factors are playing into the increased prices of coffee, including supply and demand and the vulnerability of growing coffee due to various weather conditions. A bipartisan No Coffee Tax Act has been introduced in the House to try to repeal the 50% tariff on Brazil to hopefully bring down the price of coffee. Two executions will be carried out today. Texas will give a lethal injection to a 35-year-old Blaine Milam for killing a 13-month-old child in 2008 during a so-called exorcism. And Alabama set to execute a 50-year-old Jeffrey West using nitrogen gas. West is on death row for murdering a gas station employee during a robbery in 1997. If all goes well today, as planned, it will be the fifth double execution in the U.S. this year. An Iowa woman has been found guilty of murder after the dead body of her ex was discovered in the backseat of her car. Prosecutors say 32-year-old Margot Lewis traveled to Minneapolis in June of last year and killed her former romantic partner, Liara Sy. Police say after the murder, Lewis crashed Sy's stolen vehicle, where they found the body in the back seat. Lewis will be sentenced in November. The Cleveland Clinic is highlighting how the risk of getting Alzheimer's disease can be reduced with exercise.
September is World Alzheimer's Month, and Dr. Dylan Wint is a neurologist at the Cleveland Clinic and says there's strong evidence showing that those who exercise regularly are less likely to develop cognitive decline. He recommends people do at least 150 minutes of moderate intensity aerobic activity each week. That includes walking, running, cycling, and doing chores. The doctor adds that the Mediterranean diet and the MIND diet appear to be effective in preventing cognitive decline. I'm Lisa Taylor.
American shoppers are pointing at the cost of groceries as being a major source of stress in their life. That's the sentiment coming from data from the Consumer Price Index showing grocery prices rising 0.6% from July to August, marking the steepest one-month gain in roughly 3 years. Groceries are now 2.7% higher than a year ago and up about 30% from before the pandemic.
WBSM Sports.
Sox beat the Blue Jays 7-1 yesterday. One more game with the two teams tonight in Toronto. First pitch, 7:07.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Cloudy with rain today, lower 70s. Staying muggy tonight, 65 with clouds. Scattered showers again tomorrow, upper 70s. Partly sunny on Saturday. Still more clouds, though, 73. And more clouds for Sunday, 71. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app.
This WBSM News update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
And it is one-hit wonder day, and there's a one-hit wonder from Chumbawamba, Tub Thumping, and they're talking about drinking a whiskey drink, drinking a vodka drink, drinking a cider drink, and you're going to have a chance to try a lot of that tomorrow at Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven, for their Fall Favorites tasting event. It's happening from 4 to 6, and joining us on the line, we have Tom from Heavenly Spirits, who is going to be pouring some of those spirits for you tomorrow, and let's bring him on here. Good morning, Thomas. How are you today?
Good. How are you, Tim?
Doing well. Despite the rain, looking forward to getting together tomorrow and trying some of these delicious fall favorites.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a great day. 11 vendors will be there, so 11 different tables to taste from. So, and they have 4 different raffle packages as well, so you can enter raffles and get prizes.
And what I love about these tasting events, and certainly, you know, you can speak to this more than anybody, it's an opportunity to teach the folks who come. It's not just about what do you like, it's figuring out why you like it and then utilizing that to find other things that you may like. And you've definitely helped me learn a lot in all the tastings that I've gone to. And I can see, you know, that knowledge getting passed on to people where now they can go forward with not just I like this bottle or I like this line of products, but I know that I like this style of liquor.
Yeah, no, it's very important. And thank you for that. We definitely, at Heavenly Spirits, we have a lot of very unique things. And we import directly from France a lot of family-owned distilleries and passed down through generation methods of distilling. You know, and things like that. A lot of people don't know, you know, what the liquors are that we have. So it is our goal to educate people on what they are.
And by the way, this isn't some, you know, big Boston conglomerate coming down here. This is a small family-owned distributor from Lakeville. This is local. These are people who are just sharing this with people because, like yourself, they're passionate about the products.
That's right. That's right, indeed.
And what go ahead.
Go on.
I was going to say, what do you, you know, in your... You do this all the time in your day-to-day travels. What is kind of the best thing about being able to introduce these products to people?
I think that they really they realize just how great they are. I always tell people that the French have been doing this since before we were even calling ourselves a country, and so they've learned a thing or two about it, and so they distill. You know, like for instance, we're going to be serving an Armagnac tomorrow. Nobody knows what an Armagnac is, and I can tell you it's a cognac, basically, but Armagnac is a region that's adjacent to cognac, and it's distilled grapes. It's a brandy, and this is an XO. It's 10 years aged in Gascon oak. It's very, very good, so most people don't know what these things are, but we're here to tell you, to teach them.
And when you get a chance to try these, it might be something that you would never think, because you read the bottle, you read the label, you're like, I don't know what any of that means. So you would never think to try it, but here's your chance to do it and discover something new.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And I can tell you, you've never led me astray. I've liked pretty much everything you've poured. What else will you be sharing with people tomorrow?
Well, we have also a French whiskey called Cahobe. And that is a lot of American people, a lot of folks in America don't realize that the French make whiskeys as well. And this is made with, proper French malted barley and aged in the copper alembic still. And so I would say this to everybody. If you've never had a French whiskey and you're very interested in trying one, please do come into Stevie's tomorrow between 4 and 6. We can show you that. We also have a Pear Williams, which is a pear cognac. And that is made with Bosch pears. And they're macerated and distilled in a cognac barrel. And those are delightful, perfect for the fall. They're nice and warm and bright. And then on top of this, and this is your favorite, we have the Dark Arts Whiskey House from Kentucky. So our non-French wing of the portfolio has, Macaulay Mitten's unique bourbons and whiskeys. So we're going to be doing the American Single Malt tomorrow, among others.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my favorites. But, you mentioned the Cahobe, and that was so good when I tried it. I immediately bought a bottle and take it home. And it's one of those things that you're right. I never knew that the French were involved in whiskey. But then when someone comes over and you pour them some of that, you can kind of spread that word. And now they've discovered something that they never knew existed either.
Yeah. It's so much fun. I love the business that I'm in.
And of course, the real fun part is everybody getting together and learning and hearing the stories from each other. So you get to hear the stories from all the people about what they've gone and where they've traveled around the world to try different things. And I'll just sit there and listen to some of the other folks that are tasting talk as well.
Yeah. We get a lot of folks. I mean, even though we're kind of the South Coast is, a bit of a Yankee area, we do get a lot of folks that have been around the world and visited other places. And Stevie's is a great location because they have such a big variety, in their whiskey room and the other liquor rooms and stuff like that, that you can really go there and find, something that you've never had before, or you can even tell them, hey, I'm looking for this, can you get it for me? And they will probably be able to do it, most likely.
And really, I've talked to people who have gone to many other liquor stores, and they always say, I never expected that little store, because it looks so little from the street, but I never suspected that they had so much there. But really, it is. And it's a place where if you can go in there and say, I don't even know what I want, but this is what I like, and they will introduce you to things that you never even knew were around. And also, it's a great place if you're looking for a gift. This is the time to go. Because, get ahead of the holiday season and pick up something to give as a gift for somebody, because you're going to have the experts there to tell you all about them.
Right. That's true. Yeah, the store, you go in the front door and and it just keeps on going, and that's kind of fun. It's like a secret place where they have all these great things.
And, of course, it is the fall. It is spooky season, so maybe we'll even get a little spooky tomorrow as well.
Yeah, Kelly loves that. Kelly's a big Halloween fan, as am I. And you are here as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. And so we'll be there tomorrow. I will see you then. I want to thank you for joining us and for sharing this info and also for all of the great work that you do there with Stevie's and with Heavenly Spirits, making sure that people are learning while they're tasting.
Well, thank you very much. Can I give a plug to our website?
Absolutely.
So go to heavenlyspirits.com if you would like, and that's HEAVENLYSPIRITS.com, and you can check out our entire portfolio.
And also you can learn on the website, too. I've picked up a lot of information just from the things that are shared on the website.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They like to educate people. I mean, they need to. People, it's fun to learn.
Absolutely. Well, again, thank you for joining us, and I will see you tomorrow.
Thank you very much, Tim. Thanks for having me.
All right. That is Thomas with Heavenly Spirits. You can meet him tomorrow. He is an amazing guy, so much fun and so knowledgeable, as will be all of the vendors who will be there tomorrow. Let's take another quick call here before I got to take a break, and then we can take that break. Good morning. You are next on WBSM.
Hey, Tim. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, I missed my phone went down. What was the top single you were talking about, the millennium? I missed it if you announced it.
So the top-selling one-hit wonder of all time in the U.S. is actually Gautier, Somebody That I Used to Know.
Really? Okay. I'm going to have to look that one up.
I never would have guessed that. I know the song was pretty popular, but I never would have guessed that that was the number one selling single of all time. And there's a new song out now that Fun 107's playing. I forget who does it, but that actually like samples the Gautier song. So maybe really? It's getting some new life. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to check into that. Thank you so much, bud.
All right. You have a great day.
You also. Bye-bye.
And, I love music history. So when I'm putting together the Gen X files, I literally just go and try to find, like, music stuff first. Because I find that there's so much fascinating history into that. And I like to think that I am pretty knowledgeable about it. So if you said to me, what is the best-selling one-hit wonder of all time, I could start naming all these like mega one hit wonders that became huge songs. We heard some of them from some of the other callers. Macarena. 1996, the Summer of the Macarena. You would think that everybody was probably buying that song, right? And it's up there, but it's not number one. Someone mentioned Gangnam Style by Psy. Huge song. But what's interesting about that, although it was a big seller globally, in the US, people weren't really buying the song. They were just watching the YouTube video. It was one of the biggest YouTube videos ever. Still is. So what is, just because the song is immensely popular, I guess it doesn't mean necessarily that people were going out and buying it. I think Gautier came along at the right time for people buying those records. And especially at a time when they're like, I don't know what this is. I don't know what this song represents for a genre, so I don't know that I'd want to listen to more Gautier. So I'm not going to go buy the album. I'm going to buy the song. As opposed to like if I heard, I used to have a rule that for the most part, I wanted to hear two songs from an artist before I bought the record. That was kind of always my rule. I wanted to hear two songs, and if I liked two songs from them, then I would go buy the album. And then as I started working more and had a little bit more money, and as the price of CDs came down, I got less picky about it. And I'd say, you know what? I am going to go. Why go buy a $2 CD single or a $3 CD single when I can just pay $9.99 and get the whole thing? And so I got less picky about it. And then, of course, we had mentioned Words of Music earlier. Used to love to just go there and buy the used CDs. Because in those days, there wasn't a lot of places to get used CDs. So it was huge to be able to go in there and spend a couple of bucks to get a used CD. And I'd walk out of there with a stack every time I went. But nowadays, it's you just go and you stream the song. You don't even have to buy it. I have, what was the last record I bought? The last CD? Well, I mean, I buy albums now. I buy vinyl albums. But what was the last CD I bought? I think I bought a copy of Octoon Baby at Savers for a couple of dollars so I could put it in the CD player in my car because it's my favorite album of all time. So I'll just listen to that. But I think that's the last one that I bought. And that was like, how long have I had that car? 8 years ago? So yeah, I haven't really bought a lot of CDs these days, but I like to, I will stream music. But you know what I'm getting back into? And it's weird. I've been buying VHS tapes. I bought a VCR at Savers and I bought a head cleaner so I could clean it out. And now I've been getting VHS tapes. So I got all the original Star Wars before it was the special edition, found those. I got the first three Indiana Jones films. I got the entire National Lampoon's Vacation, Griswold's, Vacation, European Vacation, Christmas Vacation, and Vegas Vacation all on VHS. I'm trying to get the horror films, but they just end up going for big money. Anyway, 508-996-0500. I've got to get this break in. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting live from the Carefree Homes studios, this is WBSM. Carefree Homes, your local family-owned home improvement experts. Roofing, siding, windows, and more. Get a free quote at carefreehomescompany.com to make your house a carefree home.
I'm too sexy for my love. Too sexy for my love. Love's going to leave. it hurts. And I am too sexy for Milan. Too sexy for Milan, New York and Japan.
I don't think it's a coincidence that as soon as I started playing this song, Chris McCarthy walks in the door. So it's almost like he was waiting for me to play it. He's like, where's my walk-up music? I need that. I need my intro song. Maybe we should replace your show intro with that. So, but it is One Hit Wonder Day, so we've been spinning some One Hit Wonders, and certainly Right Said Fred had a huge smash hit with that. They did have a second song that they followed up with called Don't Talk, Just Kiss, but it wasn't nearly as big of a hit. Yeah, we can call them a one-hit wonder. But you know what's not a one-hit wonder is that new Cape Air service from New Bedford to Boston, because they're going to have two flights every day from New Bedford to Boston and then two flights every day from Boston to New Bedford. So you've got two chances to utilize that service to avoid the traffic, to avoid the road work and the construction, to avoid going through TSA in Boston. Would you rather go through TSA with 7 or 8 other people, or would you rather go through it with 700 or 800 other people? So that's the advantage of leaving in New Bedford. It's going to cost you about as much as it would cost you to take an Uber up there, or however much your uncle might charge you for driving you up to the airport, and certainly going to save you money as opposed to parking in Boston, where it costs you $50-$60 bucks a day. At the low end, if you're in the economy garage and taking the shuttle to your terminal, as opposed to in New Bedford, where you spend 10 bucks a day to park and you can just walk right into the airport. Simple, easy, convenient, affordable, the new way to get to Logan to pick up your flight to go somewhere else. And the best part about it, it's a 15-minute flight and every seat is a window seat. So you're going to have a nice, enjoyable, fun time while getting to the airport a heck of a lot easier than if you were driving. So you can find out more by going to capeair.com. And remember, you can enter to win a pair of passes on Cape Air right now at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. We'll be broadcasting live from the airport on Monday morning for the first flight, and we'll be telling you all about it. And then I'll let you know after I get up there in the air and take that flight what it was like. All right, let me get this final break in. We'll come back and wrap things up for today. All right, that's going to do it for me for today. I'll be back tomorrow for Fun Friday, brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford. And we'll talk about some of those hot dogs that I got to go and try. And we'll talk about some other hot dog ideas, plus a whole bunch of other fun things, too. And also, don't forget, we've got the Bridgewater Triangle episode.